Welcome to another episode of the CRA Podcast. As many of you know, I care deeply about community development financial institutions, and I'm on a personal mission to inspire more banks to get involved with CDFIs to forge community development impact in our most disadvantaged communities. So today I have the pleasure of interviewing Joshua Coomer of Bankers Trust. Joshua has forged many high-impact partnerships with local CDFIs in his assessment areas. So we're going to learn more about that today. Bankers Trust is very committed to their CRA program, so I can't wait for you to hear more. So let's get to it. Welcome to the CRA Podcast, Joshua. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit more about you and Bankers Trust.
My name is Joshua Coomer, and I am Bankers Trust Fair Banking Officer. Bankers Trust is Iowa's largest privately owned bank, and we're headquartered here in Des Moines, Iowa. Our asset size is right around $6 billion, so we are a fairly large bank for the markets that we're in. Those markets include central Iowa, so the Des Moines, Ames area, as well as Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And then we also have office locations in Phoenix, Arizona. That's primarily where our branch locations are. And then we do have a loan production office in Omaha, Nebraska, and some trust services in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay. Wow. Quite the expansive footprint. So you're the CRA officer, right?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me how you came into being the CRA officer. I tell you, we don't really necessarily grow up saying, I want to be a CRA officer. So the paths to this work are many. So tell me more about your path.
Absolutely. So I actually worked in banking my entire career. When I was in college, I was a part-time teller for a national bank, which was a fantastic job for what I needed at that time. And upon graduation, just moved more into a full-time position in personal banker role, and then moved my way up into branch management. And I really loved that, but I started seeing some more important themes happening in the banking industry, specifically around sales practices and making sure that we're dedicating our time and our resources to those that need it most. And I started to explore some different avenues outside of consumer branch management. And that's when I found a compliance position with a heavy focus on CRA and fair lending at a local community bank that I actually was very familiar with because it was near my hometown that I grew up in, and applied for that position and received that. And so from there, really developed my skills from the ground up. What I knew about the CRA was where our CRA public file was located and that it focuses on low and moderate income geographies. So I had a lot of learning to do, but I've been doing that for about 5.5 to 6 years now, and I love it.
Oh, wonderful. You can really tell you have the passion for it. So I'm so thrilled that you're here with us today. And what really inspired me to reach out to you is your work with CDFIs. And as you may know, I'm so passionate about the partnership opportunities that exist and will also drive us into the future with CRA modernization as banks continue to forge partnerships with FIs. So can you tell me a little bit more about your CDFI involvement and your leadership in those partnerships?
Yeah, absolutely. So Bankers Trust, while we are primarily in Iowa, we also have those offices in Phoenix. And so when we look at getting partnered up with different CDFIs, we're very strategic about those partnerships because of our asset size, right? We're very sensitive to the communities in which we serve, and we want to make sure that the partnerships we're forming with the CDFIs are going to benefit those areas, but also that it's going to actually make an impact on us as a bank. And so here in Des Moines, there is a nonprofit organization called Iowa Community Capital, or ICC, and they have a program called Solidarity Microfinance. And this program was founded back in 2000, and it's focused on building entrepreneurial opportunities specifically for women and creating economic development opportunities through small business lending, training and education. And then where we come in is we supply those individuals with affordable banking services. And so those affordable banking services is essentially what we consider our community development savings account. And it's a savings account designed to allow those individuals who are planned participants to put their funds in a safe and secure location. So they're not in their homes in cash where it has the opportunity to either be lost, stolen, or something happening to them. And these accounts are completely free as long as they're a program participant. And we work with ICC to maintain those balances. So the program participant is also in conjunction with the program administrator. And that program administrator acts as the custodian on that account. So they facilitate the deposits and making sure that those deposits are happening on a regular basis. And then they also manage the withdrawals to make sure that those funds are being used for those small business purposes.
And do you do reporting back and forth then with the proper disclosures, right?
We do.
Oh, it's such great work. Wonderful. And then that seed money or that savings then goes to capitalize their small business. Is that the function of that account?
Yeah. Once they get off the ground, you know, they call them micro loans. You know, they range from as small as $500. And once maybe they're doing well and their repayment history is happening and they're progressing in their business cycle, they can apply. I think they go up to $5,000. And it really helps them find those financing needs that they're not going to find at a traditional bank. And then once they get those needs, you know, it helps them further their mission of driving their small business to success. And those small businesses can range from, I know they have cleaning services, beauty services, things that don't require a lot of upfront cost and are easy for them to get started and then develop that into something long-term.
I see. So they match the micro lending portion with a savings portion as well as technical assistance.
Yes, there's a lot that goes under.
Great.
Yep.
Wonderful.
With Iowa Community Capital, what I think is really unique about their structure is they have small groups where when they're looking at making a decision to approve a loan for an individual, those decisions are actually happening with the plan participants. So they'll meet biweekly or even weekly occasions and have those conversations and look at those business plans and make sure that it's making sense for that individual. And then they either make a decision to approve or deny the loan request. And then once that process happens, they just go back to that program administrator to recommend the decision on what they would like to do. And I think, you know, while we're not a part of that process, it's really nice to hear some of those stories because it helps us bring it full circle.
Absolutely. That sounds a lot like the Grameen concept, right? Where it's very peer based and very powerful, especially in repayment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have a near 100% repayment history. So,
wow. Great. Yeah. Very impactful. Love it. Well, you have a whole long list, though, of CDFI partnerships. So we could talk all day about that one, too, right? So, tell me more about Neighborhood Finance Corporation. This is quite innovative.
Yes. So the Neighborhood Finance Corporation is a Neighborhood Works program here in Des Moines. They also have a location in Cedar Rapids. And what they do is they help revitalize neighborhoods. And so they offer mortgage programs just like any traditional bank would for purchases, refinances, or home improvements. But they also have some down payment assistance programs that are really integral to helping revitalize those specific geographies. So here in Des Moines, they have what's called their territory or their core neighborhoods. And those are going to be those areas where reinvestment is needed most. So we have low and moderate income geographies, or maybe some areas that have been deemed to have some economic success. And so with Neighborhood Finance Corporation, what we'll do is we get involved on a few different ways. First, we do what are called phase offerings or investment offerings. Yeah. And so this is like a loan consortium where local financial institutions will put up capital into this fund. And then that helps them fund their initiatives or their programs for a specific time set. And they've had those phase offerings going. I think we're approaching phase 20 or 21. So it's been happening for a long time and lots of great success. Yes. And another facet from the down payment assistance is those funds can be used for home improvement, which is primarily what they're used for. That's going to be through their neighborhood reinvest program. They also have a couple other down payment assistance programs. One is specific for closing cost. And so the closing cost program provides up to $2,500 for an individual to use towards those closing costs. And that program is actually restricted to individuals earning 80% or less of the median family income. And so that one's really important when you look at the associated cost with purchasing a home. It increases that affordability and those options for them. They can tack that on to the Neighborhood Reinvest Down Payment Assistance Program, which is a forgivable or deferred loan up to $10,500.
Wow. Well, that gets you closer.
It does.
Right.
And so most recently, what I think is the biggest takeaway for me over these past 12 months is here in Des Moines, we have what's called the One Economy Task Force. And that task force has really focused on individuals who belong to the African American community and increasing homeownership opportunities for them, as well as looking at different facets from a healthcare services or transportation services, economic development opportunities, things like that. But specifically looking at the affordable housing portion, Neighborhood Finance Corporation took it upon themselves to develop a down payment assistance program specific for African-American home buyers. And so this is an additional $10,500 forgivable grant that can be added on to those other two options. So really, these individuals have an opportunity to come in at a very strong equity standpoint and purchase a home that could be their forever home.
Wow. So that's like a 3-to-1 in some cases, right?
Yes. And if they're in a targeted core neighborhood, which is a specific geography within their territory, they can actually receive up to $15,000.
Wow. That's wonderful. I love how that initiative is really looking at not only the housing component, but then more holistically about the supportive services. So impactful. And your bank gets involved. So you offer the home mortgage product. Is that correct?
We do. So we have traditional secondary market offerings through our home mortgage or our residential real estate division. But we also have an in-house portfolio loan program called our community lending program. And so this program is specifically tailored for low and moderate income individuals or individuals looking to purchase a property in a lower moderate income geography within our markets.
Love it. Well, you also have Trellis. Tell me more about
it. Yeah. Trellis is a partnership down in Phoenix. And so they are a HUD certified counseling agency, but they're an affordable housing organization through the Neighborhood Works program as well. And so our partnership with Trellis has really expanded most recently. Our residential real estate mortgage manager in Phoenix sits on the loan committee, and she's been on that committee for quite some time. But we've recently partnered up with them over these past few months in developing a stronger partnership on the lending side. And so Phoenix, for those that aren't familiar with the market, is made up of 1/3 Hispanic population. And so there's really a need to increase lending opportunities for individuals in that demographic. And Trellis does just that. A lot of the individuals that they serve as an organization belong to the Hispanic community. And then with that, a majority of those individuals belong to the lower moderate income community. And so our partnership with Trellis has really helped those individuals who have been struggling to find affordable housing, especially in that market over these recent years, in finding those properties that are one, habitable, that have the ability to be lived in. And then two, from a financing standpoint, they can afford that. I think everybody's aware of the lack of affordability. And so our partnership with them has really been successful in the fact that we offered counted interest rates on our community lending program, so that 30-year fixed mortgage program, to ensure that those individuals did not have any issues in the underwriting process when the rates were so volatile. And it was a very successful program. And I know that's something that will continue to keep going as we look at developing that partnership in the future.
Wonderful. And I love what they do in terms of mortgage readiness, that's the key, that we get everybody positioned and with a down payment opportunity, that when the property and the rates align, then they are ready to then seize the opportunity. So great positioning and setting everybody up for success there.
Yes.
Wonderful. So you have a home initiative. Can you tell me more about that?
So Home Inc. is a similar organization to Trellis, and they're located here in Des Moines. And so we've been a partner with them for many years, specifically with our community lending program, because part of the requirements to qualify for that loan is that you have to go through a HUD certified affordable housing counseling program.
Yeah.
And so they are our HUD certified counseling agency that we refer all of our customers through to receive their education. And so most recently with Home Inc., what we did in conjunction with the One Economy initiative that I mentioned earlier, was we partnered up with them to offer affordable housing or just home buyer education seminar for BIPOC individuals and low and moderate income individuals to just take advantage of at no cost. And so what we found to be really impactful about this was a lot of times when an interested home buyer is wanting to move forward in that purchase process, they have to be ready for the financing. And that can take a very quick turn of events. And, you know, you're inundated with different information. And in this market, it's really competitive. So you have to move quick. Otherwise, you might lose out on a home purchase opportunity. And so through this partnership, by providing these free education classes, it gave individuals who might be interested in learning more about homeownership the opportunity to do it at their own pace without feeling pressured to move through that process. And we saw great success with that. I think that's something that we'll continue to look at doing in the future with Home Inc. And maybe with some other affordable housing agencies that we have in other markets.
Right. Great. I mean, it takes all different strategies, right? We got to attack affordable housing from many different angles and programs. So I'm really curious about community land trusts. And I see that you have a partnership with Newtown Community Development Corporation. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes. So our partnership with Newtown Community Development Corporation is primarily in the community land trust portion of their business. Through our community lending program, we offered our mortgage loan in the Phoenix assessment area. And with Newtown, they are the organization that has the opportunity to participate in community land trusts. And so those community land trusts allow for individuals to move into a property, a new construction property, at a much lower cost because that land is not included in the actual cost of the property. And so it's basically just a lease, a low cost lease fee that they pay, and it makes that property a much more affordable option for them. And it is restricted to those designated at that 80% or less of the median family income.
Great. So the land is restricted for a certain purpose and in essence, in perpetuity, I would assume.
Correct. Yes, okay. It's a 99-year lease.
Okay. Great. I will plan to do an episode on that because I want to hear more about those great opportunities across the nation and how we're all getting very creative about affordable housing. So I understand that Bankers Trust has a certified Bank On product. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. So we recently launched our foundation checking account, which is the certified Bank On account through the Cities of Financial Empowerment. And have really, you know, developed some branding around ensuring individuals within our markets understand that option, especially in this highly contended conversations around overdrafts and the elimination of overdrafts and NSFs. We really appreciate having a different avenue to offer that to customers that might have an interest in just securing the fact that they'll never be assessed an overdraft fee. And so we offer that in both of our markets here in Iowa, as well as in Arizona.
And I just love those Bank On accounts. They're so impactful. The more programs like that in our banks, the more impact. And then we can move that mark on underbanked and unbanked individuals and reverse that trend, I hope. So
yes,
wonderful. So what really draws you to this work?
I think it's interesting because you point out the technical aspects of CRA and how a lot of CRA officers are very in the weeds, is what I like to say, or we kind of get stuck in that path and we forget about the overarching look of CRA, the 360-degree view. And I guess if I could give one piece of advice, learn the technical aspects, but don't get stuck in them, because a lot of times when you start to look at it from a wider angle, they just naturally happen. The technical things just work. And that's what I found. So through these CDFI partnerships or really any of our CRA initiatives that we've done as an institution, you know, we're having these conversations with the executive leadership at these organizations. And from a technical standpoint, it takes very little effort to get the information we need to secure that CRA consideration. But I can tell you, we're wrapping up our most recent exam. And a lot of the resounding comments that we received from our examiners with the fact that we were able to partner up with a majority of these organizations that have these defined purposes of community development or CRA. Yep. And the supporting documentation was one of the least talked about conversations we had. They knew that what we were doing was impacting low and moderate income individuals or distressed areas. And it wasn't something that was a roadblock for us or even a speed bump. It was a natural conversation between us and our examiners that flowed really well and really helped us just kind of know that we're doing what we need to be doing and we can continue on that path.
Well, it's interesting. So Bankers Trust has a long history of outstanding ratings. Yes. Tell me
we
more.
We do.
Yes.
Yes. So the bank has maintained an outstanding rating since 2000, to my knowledge. Wow. And it's something that we are very, very proud of. We know not many banks can achieve that. And as a large financial institution, it's something that gets harder and harder each year to maintain. These partnerships with CDFIs are integral to maintaining that outstanding rating. really looking at that innovative and complex programs and offerings. And we know that without these partnerships, we wouldn't be able to do what we do from a CRA perspective.
And isn't it fun? Come on. Don't you love getting out into community and doing this type of work?
Yes, especially in the winter when I'm stuck in Iowa and I need to go down to Arizona.
Touche, touche. Well, I am recording this from beautiful Hawaii today. So as we all start to navigate regulatory change, what is your vision for your CRA program going forward? Or what are you hoping for as you continue to mature your CRA program and your thoughts for the future?
I think one thing that I would really like to see with modernization is the regulatory agencies to give more concrete consideration for activities involving partnerships with CDFIs or CDCs or MDIs without that ambiguity. I think as a compliance officer, a CRA officer, or anybody in a risk role who has that responsibility for CRA, it would help us know that the activities that we're doing are going to be considered, which would alleviate any stress on our part of considering to even get involved in the first place.
Exactly. I think we can all agree that this work is the most important work, and that if the regulators are more clear and explicit about how this also supports our CRA program, that would actually foster more, right? And get more reinvestment on the street and more impact. So I'm looking forward to that clarity as well. You seem so committed to this work, Joshua. Tell me more about your personal volunteerism.
Yeah. So I actually am involved in a few different committees. The first one that I'm on, I sit on the board of directors for the Neighborhood Finance Corporation. That's a position that I was recently appointed to, and I really value the opportunity to sit on that group or sit with that group and learn more from them. A few other committees that I'm involved with. So we have the Greater Des Moines Habitat for Humanity chapter here. And I sit on our Access to Credit Committee Task Force. And so this task force is looking at different initiatives where we can increase credit opportunities for maybe those individuals that don't fit the traditional lending landscape. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're looking for some of that more non-traditional lending. I also sit on the Iowa Bankers Association Diversity Committee. DEI is something very near and dear to my heart. So I always make it a priority to focus on different initiatives around that space. And I have a personal passion for Special Olympics. So I've sat on the Special Olympics fundraising committee since I started in banking. And it's a big passion of mine.
Oh, that's wonderful. Such great organizations and so well-rounded in supporting really critical work that we're all addressing. I love your passion for this work, and it really comes through your personal volunteerism as well as your work as CRA officer with Bankers Trust and forging all of the great partnerships with these CDFIs. Thank you so much for all the work that you do. So I love to wrap up my CRA podcast episodes by asking about your why, or what do you love most about this work?
My why is that we're truly giving back to those in our community that need the financial assistance the most. I know from prior experience working in a large national bank, those banks can provide those services. But I think working in a community bank, you can feel it. You can see it happening, and you can really resonate more with the work that's being done.
And personally, what do you love most about this work?
I'd love getting out in the community. I just love having those conversations with different leaders. But I think most importantly, meeting with those nonprofits, you know, affordable housing, I think we've talked a lot about in this podcast, and I have a really big passion for affordable housing because I know that there is an affordable housing crisis, and affordable housing is near and dear to my heart. You know, I'm a homeowner. My first mortgage was an FHA with a low down payment because I had limited resources at that time. And without some of those opportunities or initiatives that were given to me at that time, I might not be in the position that I'm at today. And so being able to help others facilitate their financial dreams is extremely rewarding for me.
So wonderful. I love your passion for this work, and Bankers Trust is so lucky to have you, and that you have the heart for community development, and that you're out here
forging these very critically important relationships and leveraging bank resources for the greater good. I'll look forward to hearing more from you going forward, but thanks so much for spending time and for sharing all your great work with CDFIs.
Thanks, Linda. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Joshua. Well, take care and have a great day.
Thanks, Linda.
Well, that's a wrap of another episode of the CRA podcast. I hope you enjoyed learning more about bank and CDFI partnerships, and I hope I've inspired you to get more involved with these high-impact, mission-based organizations. And don't forget, we have the CRA Hub. If you'd like to join your peers and learn more about innovative bank partnerships and level up your CRA program, consider joining us in the Hub. We help you master the CRA, get exam ready, and reinvest capital for the greater good. Now, until next time, bye for now.